Hey, what's up, everybody out there in V's After Dark Radio Land? You know what time it is. It's 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and it's time for Ask Miss V Sports here on V's After Dark Radio. The number to call is 646-716-8041. That's 646-716-8041 if you dare to call in and talk to yours truly, the host himself, James Acevedo, and my host of very lovely and multi-talented CEO of V's After Dark Radio, and of course she has her adult toy pleasure products, of course, is the one and only Miss V the Toy Lady. Hello.
Hey.
Hey, how are you?
What's going on? A little bit here, a little bit there.
I just wanted to see if you have something to get off your chest first before I start my thing.
Actually, no. I'm too busy trying to make Jello shots right now.
Oh, okay. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, if you hear two of me, it's because Ms. V is trying something right now. She's what she wants to do is try to have like our shows be on Skype while we're on live. When it comes to this show, and all about sex, sex, and more sex, and the Bit Black Bitch show. So this is a little test she's doing. Right now she's on a landline. She's not on a Skype. So she won't be dropping off like she did last night a couple of times. So that's why if you hear me in the background a little bit, that's why. Well, that's what you hear, ladies and gentlemen. So it's not Blog Talk fault yet.
Not this time,
yeah. Well, that's why I said yet, too. As of the, for once, it's not Blog Talk's fault. So, you know, we keep it real here. We don't just put blame for the fuck of it. So, yeah. So that's what's going on. Now, let me get to something here. As we all know, yesterday, as far as for both of our teams in baseball, ironically enough, they played each other yesterday in a spring training game. It was the first spring training game of the season for both of these teams. Not that it matters who won and lost, because mostly when they play these games, it's people who are in their farm system or people that are trying out for the club to see if they're going to make it, stuff like that. It's a little bit different than it is in football, but almost kind of similar. The big news lately, the last couple of days, because this has been going on for like a while, as everybody knows, Major League Baseball has put a rule in as far as domestic violence. They want to basically make sure that, you know, if baseball players act stupid like football players, that they get penalized severely like they should deserve. Now, in this case, I don't know if anybody knows, including Ms. V, the whole details of this certain case. This is one of three. One of them is Aroldis Chapman, which that got handled just the other day. You got Jose Reyes, which I will get to in a second. And you have Puig, you know, Yasiel Puig, you know, from the Dodgers. Now, with Aroldis Chapman, it happened a few months ago where there was alleged domestic violence. And I've talked about this on my show. What was alleged was that basically his girlfriend found something on his phone that she didn't like. She confronted him online. She supposedly charged at him, although she denies that. And then supposedly he put his hands on her, which there was no evidence of that, nor was there any evidence of him touching her in any way. So to make a long story short, he goes outside. He's all pissed. He wants to leave the premises. His girlfriend's brother and his peoples didn't want to allow him to leave. So he goes in the passenger's seat of his car and sits down there. Then he gets so mad he breaks the window by punching it on his left hand. I think it's his right hand, because his left hand, that's his moneymaker. So it was his right hand. So he wasn't totally stupid. Then he proceeded to go in his own garage, which is not connected to the house. This is separate from the house. And basically went in there with a gun that was registered. It wasn't illegal, nothing. And he shot eight shots in the garage, which people around there were like, what the hell is that? Including the girlfriend, and she got scared. So she was basically hiding somewhere in the house. And then he basically left the garage, His people basically locked him in a room until the police came. The police did a full investigation. And according to the DA and to the police, he wasn't charged with anything because of inconsistent stories, you know, nothing that was proven. There was no marks on her, this, that, and the third. So when I saw this and I read the police report, I was like, okay, well, according to a domestic violence rule, he shouldn't get penalized because he didn't hurt her. You know, now reckless endangerment maybe, but that's not part of, you know, domestic violence. So here comes a couple of days ago, and he was suspended for 30 games because the commissioner, Rob Mefford, who is the commissioner of the baseball who just started last year, he basically saying because of him shooting a gun and basically terrifying the girlfriend, he counts that as, well, you know, I'm going to give him 30 games. Now, here's my thing, okay? Here's my thing. Okay, now we weren't there. Okay, you hear gunshots, you get scared or nervous, okay? You put two to two together, okay, he's shooting in a garage far away from me. I'm in the house, he's in the garage all the way to the other side. I don't know what he's capable of doing next. But if you're going by this rule that it's domestic violence as far as her getting getting physically hurt by him, to me, he shouldn't have gotten suspended. I'm just saying. There's no evidence. Unless there's something that we don't know, which I've seen, I looked at everything. So unless there's something they're hiding that we don't know, because they investigated, they talked to around this Chapman, and he basically said, yeah, I shot the gun, but I did not touch her. I did not touch her. I didn't do nothing. And there were conflicting stories. She basically didn't want to help out. You know, they asked the following people. It was different stories. So according to evidence, it doesn't mean he's innocent. But if going to, besides the gunshots, he shouldn't be suspended. Because to me, if he gets 30 games, Jose Reyes, who, by the way, beat his girlfriend, whatever it was, wife, in a hotel room and threw her through a patio door, he should get half a year or a year then, if that's the case. If we're getting this strict, then he should get at least half a year or a year. I'm just saying, because, you know, he didn't, there was no physical evidence of Rollins Chapman touching her. So in that case, he shouldn't have been suspended. But I think the reason why he did this is because of to protect their brand, you know, to protect their asses publicly, because, you know, if he wouldn't got suspended, although there was no evidence, there would be people that would say, oh, but he shot a gun in the garage, so, you know, that's reckless endangerment, so shouldn't he be penalized for something? So that's one of those things. And the only reason Aroldis Chapman didn't appeal like he said he was going to was because the Players Association probably set him down, his lawyers, and go, listen, although you weren't charged, the DA is not charging you, the police are not charging you, you know your free agency is coming up next year. If you appeal and you lose, you'll get at least double that, which will be 60 games. And if you get that, that means you can't be eligible for free agency, which means the Yankees will still own you for another year. So business-wise, Aroldis Chapman had to think twice and say, okay, I'm not going to appeal it, and I'm just going to go with this. I'll do the 30 games. I'll shut up, and then I'll come back May 9th, and then that way I'll be eligible to free agency when that happens after the season. So that's basically in a nutshell. That whole I said that without even taking a breath. Wow, but it's just and trust me, I'm not saying if he did something, obviously he would deserve to get suspended. Oh, you're going in and out. You trying to say something? Oh, hello. Are you still there? I can't hear Ms. V for some reason.
Can you hear me?
Now I can hear you. Yes.
Okay. You've been breaking up.
Uh-oh, you're going in and out again. What's going on over there?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Oh, boy. She is not coming over the air, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know what's going on.
Did you hear me?
Yeah. Kind of, but you like breaking up all over the place. I thought you were on a landline. Yeah, I don't hear her. I barely hear her. She's going in and out. I don't know what's going on. Something's going on with Ms. V's line. I have no idea what's going on. Well, while we wait for Ms. V to come back on. Oh, wait. I think I hear her. Hold on. I hear myself in the background, but not her. This is strange.
Here.
You're going in and out. Maybe you have to try to call back in. Let's see. Talk now.
Hello. Can you hear me?
I heard you for a second, but then you went away again.
Okay. Let's see. Can you hear me now?
Yeah. Not well. Yeah, now I do.
Because I was trying to say you've been breaking up.
Oh, I was breaking up.
Yeah, and I couldn't hear you.
Oh, well, I couldn't hear you.
So I think we were having a problem.
Yeah, now you're on.
But it was like you were echoing. It was like, So all I know is that somebody beat the shit out their girlfriend and got 30-game suspension. And
Well, let me rephrase that. No, he didn't beat her. There was no physical evidence that he did beat her. There was no physical evidence, but yet they still suspended him for 30 games. I guess they're going by the evidence of him shooting a gun in the garage 8 times. Even though she was nowhere near the garage, and all this other stuff, I think the commissioner of the baseball, Rob Manfred, I think was trying to cover all bases, no pun intended, that he wanted, he witnessed what happened with the NFL. So I think even though the police are not charging him and the DA of Florida is not charging him, I think he was just like, look, okay, you did shoot a gun in the garage. And I think, you're going to get 30 games. If you appeal, you get 60. And if you do that, and you do get 60 and you lose the appeal, you will not be eligible for free agency, and you'll still be under the Yankees for another year, which is not what he wants because he wants to be in the free agency market to earn more money than he would if he stayed with the Yankees, not playing. So you have to play a certain amount of games in order to be eligible for free agency. Especially after serving the MLB for 5 years of his first 5 years of career. So this is why Aroldis Chapman accepted the suspension, because he feels his people came to him, the PA, saying, the MLB PA Players Union, said, listen, if you do appeal, the chances are you're going to lose. You lose, they'll double the suspension. That happens, you won't be eligible for free agency after this season, and you have to wait another year for that to happen, to go into free agency. So just take the suspension, and just do what you got to do and get it over with. Oh, here we go again. We're breaking up again. I wonder why this is going, this connection. I barely hear you.
I really wasn't saying too much because you were breaking up.
See, I don't know what's going on.
I think this is worse than Skype.
I wasn't doing this before the show aired, that's for sure.
I know.
That's weird. And plus, I hear myself in the background. That's annoying me. I feel like I'm broadcasting in a cave somewhere. Like, hello, hello.
Yes. You know what? It might be my fault because I didn't test the mic before I got on. And it's saying, if there's interference in the call, it's choppy. How can I fix that?
Good question. I don't know.
Okay.
That's never well. It's different. It's different with me because I use a different service, so I never had that issue.
Yeah.
So I can't tell you for Blog Talk when it comes to using the mic. I've never done that. So.
I think
this is working.
Yeah, I like this new mic, but it's this thing. But see, I didn't like. Remember, we had this problem before. So that's what's going on with that stupid ass thing. Pissed me off.
Yes, this is actually, this is not a test show, ladies and gentlemen. This is actually a live show.
Yeah, it really is.
I wonder why this is, would be different because then it's calling on Skype. You make no sense. Oh, you're breaking up again.
See.
Uh-oh.
I'm still here.
There you are.
I'm still here.
Yeah, I can hear you. How do I? Am I breaking up?
Not now. It's like it goes back and forth. So when we finish this damn show, I'm going to have to test this mic. But it's something with... Oh, that's what I do. Oh, and I'm also on the wrong frequency, but that's what I had to do. I forgot to do that this weekend because Blog Talk has two different frequencies now. And you have
oh,
to request on the other frequency, and I haven't requested it. You're not automatically put on it. So I'm on lo-fi, which if I was on hi-fi, everything would be better.
Okay.
And I got to remember to send the email requesting hi-fi.
Ah. See, now you're breaking up again. This is not good. No, it's like we're trying to broadcast from Pluto. I do not hear you. We apologize for the technical difficulties, ladies and gentlemen. That's if you can hear me, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know if I'm breaking up over the air.
I'm going to try.
Guess we're, yeah, oh, well, I think I'm still on. I don't know Ms. V. I don't hear Ms. V at all, so. This is not good. Are you calling on from another line or something?
I'm trying to.
I see your. That's your number, then. I see, right? Let me see some. Hold on. 1 second. Hello.
Okay. Now I'm there.
Oh my God. Now we're re-echoing.
I just cut that off.
Okay. I'm about to go. Ooh, ooh, Okay. Good. Man.
Blog Talk was much better last night. Blog Talk was much, I mean, Skype was better than this. So.
Well, to be fair with Skype, we don't want to totally shit on Skype. It was very quick with the delay. It wasn't like this. It definitely wasn't like this. Like, you went off for like a second or two. It wasn't like what's happening tonight. Totally different.
And I'm not using Skype tonight because I was like, okay, let's try the other one with the direct call in, you know, which it calls directly from your computer and it doesn't use Skype. And now I
know. You know what I'm going to do because you know how much I respect you and love you, and you do have a background in the law. How would you like if I give you a brief summary of the police report and you can give your analysis? How about that? How about that, okay?
Yeah, give me that. Let me do some analysis.
Yeah, because, you know, and let's keep it real. Ms. V, you know, she has a comment on everything. And it's not just a regular comment like, well, I don't like this, and that's it. Well, why? She'll tell you where, why, how, why it's important, and go fuck yourself. You know, that's how she does it. So that's what I love about Ms. V. You just give it a ball and she'll run with it. Now, I'm going to do the due diligence, like how I use a big word, to read the police report. I've done this on my show because I found it, And trust me, if he did what he did, he should get more than 30 games. But with this evidence I'm about to tell you, it doesn't seem that way to me. But trust me, you look into the details of Jose Reyes and Yasiel Puig hitting his sister, which is, but God, not to, I mean, that's just disgusting. This, you know, let me see, where is this whip around this channel? I know I saved it. Let me see. No, that's that one. Where's the one with, okay, all right, I think this is it. Is this it with the police report? Let me see. Because I read the police report, and because of inconsistent reports and stuff, the DA and the police department in Florida, I forgot where in Florida it is, they didn't feel the charge.
He must not be black.
Actually, he looks black, but he's
okay,
Spanish.
Okay, but he must not
he's
be
Cuban.
Black.
He's Cuban black.
Okay, that's why, you know. Because, you know, black folks in Florida get a really raw deal. Yeah, I said it. It doesn't matter if you're in the right. If you're black in Florida, you know, that car is just living black.
Yeah, I see. I'm trying. This is true. Let's see here. Let me go back over here. This is not the one I wanted. I know I saved this shit. And I'm going to read it. That way it'd be almost like, you know, court radio. Go ahead. That type of shit. Let's see. Trying to find it in my saved bookmarks. No, that's not that one. All right, let me just Google this real quick. I'm wasting time here. Ugh, so annoying. And this is me being annoyed at myself. Imagine this was somebody else. All right, and then the computer wants to act stupid. Boy, nothing going right tonight. The fucking technology, man. 2016 is going through this bullshit. All right, Araldis? Okay, Araldis. Now, let me fill you in on this. When the Yankees made a trade for him, because originally the Dodgers in the offseason made a trade for him, but then when this story first came out, the Dodgers voided the trade with the Cincinnati Reds to get Chapman because they didn't want any part of it, although no details were released as far as a full investigation, right? So as time goes by, the Yankees got interested because obviously Aroldis Chapman's stock is low, and he's one of the hardest throwing relief pitchers in the game today. The Yankees have connections with the Tampa Police Department down there. So you know they got information like, okay, if we're thinking of signing him, do you think there's a chance he might get suspended or he might get arrested? No, let's even go back. Do you think he'll get arrested, you know, law-wise, you know, before anything with the suspension? That would have been on top of that, you know, if he would have been charged and arrested, whatever. Obviously, they told the Yankees, with the evidence we have here, we don't see why he'd be arrested. So with that information, they probably went to MLB and said, okay, is there a chance he might lose some games, get suspended? Yeah, probably, but probably not too much. And that's why they took the chance. And it's not like they traded away a good crop of your blue chips of their organization to get Aroldis Chapman. So therefore, they got a steal. They traded away four guys from their single A and double A that who knows what, you know, there's no proof of them being good as far as now. So they took their chance. And, you know, 30 games, considering the evidence, which I'm finally going to get, because this is annoying. It'll take over a half hour just to get to this point. Let's see. Okay. All right, police report. All right, let's see. Police report. Okay. All right, let's see the police report. Clicked on the linky. And let's see. Police report. Come on, you motherfucker. All right. Because at first there was... okay, Chapman police report. Here we go. Finally. Jesus Christ. Because when this story first came out, this was like early December, right? These were all allegations, including him shooting a gun in his garage. So when I first brought this up, I was like, look, until I get full details, I'm not going to give my thought. I think that's a right due diligence thing to do. You know, I don't go by hearsay. I don't go by, you know, well, this is what I think might have happened. I see what the facts that are presented to me that are on the public, because, you know, sometimes, you know, not everything gets put out there. And I go from there. And this, the internet, let me ask you something. Why do you feel the need to have these pop-ups still come up to this day? I don't give a fuck about joining a membership for readers, okay? I don't want no access to audiobooks. I just want the damn police report. Damn. The hell, yo? That's man, he's in this freaking internet, yo. All right, here we go. Let's see. Right. Where's the... Yeah, it's just annoying. See, I actually got the actual police report, like the paper, which I didn't get the last time. Let's see. Come on, go down, you piece of shit. And, thank God. This is getting... Okay, oh, here we go, finally. All right, stop, you piece... Oh, my God. I hate you, Microsoft. Okay, hold on, let's see. Okay, here we go. This incident happened October 5th, 2015. Okay, here we go with the technical, you know, the police terminology. On October 5th, 2015, at approximately 18:30 hours, which us, you know, military people. 6:30. Yeah, you're right. 6:30. My bad. Duh. Okay, I was contacted by phone by the reporting party homeowner of you know who, and refers to a possible burglary in progress by his ex-girlfriend. I respond to the residents along with Ofi Schwindel and make contact with you know whoever, probably whoever the girlfriend probably who said. She was at the residence to collect her clothing as well as furniture and clothing belonging to her. Is this the one I'm... Hey, man, let me see. This is the one I'm... This is don't look like Chapman to me. Wait a minute. Hold on a second. This don't look right. This don't look right at all. I said, I remember seeing this shit. No, it does say around the surface. What the fuck is this? Why? I didn't even read this part. Okay, let me go. Okay, I responded along to make contact... with which is blacked out, who said she was at the residence to collect her clothing as well as furniture that belongs to the daughter they have in common, had a key to the residence. She told me she has resided at the above-mentioned address for approximately 3 years and only recently broke up with the homeowner. I contacted the homeowner again by phone and explained that the blanked-out name had a key and was allowed to enter the residence if she had not been legally evicted from the property. He said... She had not been evicted, however, was amended. The account was provided was inaccurate. The homeowner advised me he and the Chapman dated for a little over a year and have a child in common, which those who don't know what that means they have a child together. They were living together in an apartment in Miami during that time. Moved back into his Davie residence between 6 and 8 weeks ago. The relationship ended recently and voluntarily left the residence over a week ago. Okay, where's the part where about the incident, though? All this other shit is like, okay, we're closing our time, and there's music. But this is like from different people. It's not like it's not actually from, you know, from what actually took place. This is a horrible police report. This is like from other people. Okay, okay, here we go. Okay, October 31st. So I guess it was some other bullshit. I think it was all the other police. I don't know what the fuck. Okay, let's see. They arrived in the residence, reported domestic disturbance, was an unknown type firearm, had been discharged. Upon arrival, they walked towards the residence, observed a Hispanic female, which was his girlfriend, walking towards us. I made a statement while walking towards them. Those guns aren't needed. We asked her initially what had happened. And why she called the police, she advised that she and her boyfriend, later identified as Chapman, Rhonda Chapman, had an argument. She initially advised that he had pushed her, and the argument had been broken up by family members. Chapman walked outside the residence and advised she heard shotgun blasts. which wasn't a shotgun, it was a gun, but did not know where they were coming from. She then ran into the south side of the residence to the north of the incident location and hid behind bushes until she made contact with police. She advised her infant child was also still inside the house. I approached the residence, observed several persons leaving the residence. As the subjects walked out, they were given instructions to approach officers and were checked for any firearms or involvement in the incident. None of the subjects that left the residence were Chapman. A perimeter was then established on the residence, and attempts were made to contact Chapman and have him exit the residence. Eventually, Chapman exited the residence, exited the front of the residence without incident. Which, just to take a pause, what happened was after he shot the gun in the garage, which wasn't connected to the house, he locked himself in the garage. Then after he discharged the weapon, he came out and his peoples locked him in a room and just kept him there till the cops came. And before all that happened, like I said, when he got pissed off, he left the house. He went inside to the passenger side of his car, you know, punched the window, broke the window, cut on his right hand, his knuckle hand. He got the gun from the glove compartment from that car. Then proceeded to go into the garage, which is not connected to the house. I don't know how far away from the house it is, but it's in that vicinity. He went in there, locked it, he shot 8 shots. Now, what a lot of people don't realize, when I saw one of the reports, one of the 8 bullets went out the window, which I don't know how close it is to another residence. God forbid, somebody passes by, get hit by accident. That wasn't really specific enough with that. Okay, let's see. Made contact with Chapman, who advised she wished to give a sworn record statement regarding the incident, then began to take the statement and say she got into a verbal altercation with her child's father, which is Chapman, because she found something in his phone that she did not like. So obviously, if it was a picture of a naked woman.
So basically, she was a nosy bitch.
Yeah, she was a nosy bitch. And she got pissed off.
Because she saw something that she shouldn't have been looking at any damn way.
Yeah,
I bet if
his
she looked
phone.
At her phone, she would have been pissed as hell.
Yeah, so supposedly she charged him, although she denies that. And then it goes from there. She went to the bathroom with his phone. Okay, so listen to this. Okay, so she found something in his phone that she didn't like. She went into the bathroom with his phone. He took the phone away from her while they were inside the bathroom. After that, she followed him to the bar and told him that she wanted to talk to him inside of the movie theater. Both parties then walked to the movie theater, and once inside, she said that he became aggravated and pushed her against the wall. This is when her brother came into the theater and separated them. After they were separated, he ran outside. Oh, no, she ran outside because she was scared for her and her daughter. She ran to her neighbor's residence.
Wait a minute, but she didn't take her daughter.
No, she didn't take her daughter.
But she's scared for her and her daughter.
But see, this is the inconsistency that they were talking about. There's one I told you earlier. Oh, she went outside after the fact she had the gun such. This says here she ran outside after the fact he left the residence. You see what I'm saying? It's like very... There is not a consistency from her or from her brother or, Chapman's driver. It's a lot of, fill in the blank type of shit. Okay, anyway, let's see. Okay, she ran into her neighbor's residence, which didn't say any other shit I said, and hid outside the bushes. While she was hiding, she heard the one gunshot. See, in the other one I said, she said she heard the gunshots, which she thought was a shotgun, and then that's when she went outside in the bushes with her child still in the house. Okay, but she doesn't know where it came from. Signed an affidavit of complaint advising she did not wish to prosecute. Okay, there was a gathering in the house, so I guess it was some sort of get together. During the gathering, they overheard his sister and Chapman arguing in front of the living room. So this is from the brother. Okay, so this is the brother of the woman that. Chapman supposedly had this alleged domestic violence. He overheard his sister and Chapman arguing in front of the living room area. He went to defend his sister and tried to stop the argument. While he was trying to stop the argument, the mother also tried to intervene. stated that he was concerned for his mother, so he escorted away from the victim at Chapman. He stayed with his mother in a separate room while the argument continued in front of the living room area and did not see any type of physical altercation other than a verbal argument between Chapman and his sister, refused to give a sworn affidavit. You know, sworn, you know. So, see, and this is what I'm saying. The only thing we know that's true is that he went into a garage, he took a gun from the glove compartment. After the fact, he punched the window in his own car, the passenger side of the car, locked himself in the garage, and proceeded to shoot 8 shots from a handgun. And then that's it. And then his people basically locked him in a room somewhere in the house because he wanted to just leave. When he had this verbal altercation with his girlfriend, he wanted to just leave the residence, but they didn't allow him to. So that's when he went outside,
okay.
He went to his car,
now,
and all this
I'm
other shit.
Now, I'm going to ask this. Now, so basically, and I'm going to ask this because, you know, as I said, my legal mind going.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
They basically held him hostage and would not let him leave, which that's against the law. If a person's trying to leave and you refuse to allow them to leave, you can't do that.
Especially,
I don't care how mad you are.
Especially, well, this is where I don't see. This is see. In my point of view here, he did what you're supposed to do. Try to leave. You know, you're pissed off. You don't want to. You know, you don't want it to get worse, right? So he wanted
to leave the
leave.
Situation so that you can calm down.
Thank you. Right, but for some reason. His peoples didn't want, meanwhile, this is his place, did not want to allow him to leave. So now he's getting more aggravated, right? I'm not saying I'm in his head. I'm just using common sense, right? So now I'm trying to put myself in this situation. So you're more pissed, you know? Now you're in that zone. You know, we've all been in that zone. So,
I know what that zone is.
Yeah, you know. Okay, thank you. So now he goes to his car because obviously he's probably trying to leave. And I remember reading one of the reports, the driver stopped him from even going to his car to leave. So now he's getting more pissed off. He punched the window, obviously because of that, took the gun from the gun park, said, fuck this, I'm letting off some steam somehow without killing the bitch. I'm going inside this garage, in my own garage, with my legal handgun. It's legal. It wasn't no, you know, he did it by the law, you know. There's no serial number scratch, nothing like that. A legit handgun that he is registered in his name, one and two the garage, his own garage, separated from the house, and proceeded to shoot 8 shots, which one of them, for what I've read in one report, did go through a window. Now, is that a little reckless, a little crazy? Yeah.
It's reckless endangerment and it's reckless discharge of a firearm, but it's not a assault.
Thank you. Thank you. That's my point. My point is this. He don't by what I've said and what I've read from everything, not just what this I saw, and other shit I've read, from other shit I've heard, doing my due diligence, he shouldn't get suspended 30 games. And the only reason he got suspended 30 games, MLB is trying to say, look, we don't want to hear no shit from no women's group or none of that shit. Okay, you shot a fire, you know, because they did sit down with Chapman. And they want to, you know, they want to know what really happened. Da, da, da. Yeah, did you shoot the gun? Yeah, he admitted to shooting the gun. He didn't hide that fact. He admitted to shooting the gun in his garage. And he said, but I did not touch her. I did not touch her. But I do admit that I did shot the gun. So he said around this Chapman that, well, if I even get suspended for a second, I'm going to appeal to it. Now with this being dropped at the 30 games, you know his peoples went to him and said, listen, if you appeal this, the chances of you winning this are not going to look good. Because he's the first man ever in Major League Baseball history to get suspended under this new rule. You understand?
So they're going to make an example of him.
Thank you, Miss V. I love you. That, I said this weeks ago. I said they're going to do something because this is the first case. I mean, there's two other cases pending, but they haven't got the full, you know, the rest of the facts yet. Chapman happens to, they got most of the facts that they can, but there was too much conflicting reports from different people not consistent enough to put anything on Chapman. You understand? And there was no physical marks on the woman. You know, although she claims she was, you know, he put her against the wall and choked her, you know, but yet there was no marks, no nothing. And she didn't press, and on top of that, she didn't press charges. So by all that, I know the law is different than from sports when it comes to discipline, but I'm just saying, going by that evidence, he should not get suspended a game. That's all I'm saying. But because this is a new rule with the domestic violence rule in the MLB, they want to make him an example. And I didn't think they would go 30, but I thought they would make an example and say, okay, well, 10 to 15 games maybe.
Hey,
but,
Dietrich. Dietrich's in the chat
room. Oh, Dietrich. Hey, Dietrich, what's up, man? So that's, you know, it's just, that's the whole thing. And he didn't appeal to the 30-game suspension because they told him, look, you peel this, you're gonna lose because they're making an example out of you. They're gonna double that suspension by at least 60 games, and then because your free agency year is coming up after this season, you won't be eligible for that free agent season because you didn't play the whole year. You know, when you first start off your major league career, you have to put at least 5 years service time before you're eligible for free agency. This is his fifth year. You understand? So his people's and his lawyers and the union probably told him, listen, you know, just take it because if you appeal this, you're going to get more games and you won't be eligible to make the big time money in free agency that you would think you deserve. And you have to wait an extra year and wait until the end of the 2017 season for you to be eligible for your first free agency appearance. So all that together, this is why this happened. Just using
best
my noodles.
Way to start a Friday night into the weekend is Miss V and James talking about sex.
And as Chris Rockwell says, and we're black. Well, she's black. I'm Puerto Rican. Hey, where's our little? Hold on a sec. We can't go out without having this. I know where it is.
You keep moving it.
First of all, give your boy a heads up that you're gonna do that.
Okay, I got it. Done at the halfway mark.
I'm sorry. That's because all this should have happened. The iPod. Well, okay. I'm gonna play it now. Okay. Here's and now a little word from Sierra.
Oh. What the hell are you listening to? I'm just bitching on the internet. I'm just leaving a comment underneath the video.
Yeah, just go hang out with your sisters.
Really? Oh, that's right. I could be listening to the Bitter Back Bitch Show and commenting live instead of plotting your disappearance with my sisters. Join your host, Miss D, the Toy Lady, and Sierra Dubai every Wednesday night, 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern, for the Bitter Black Bitch Show on D's After Dark, because there's always something to bitch about.
And now we're back for good.
Yes.
Better late than never. So this is just my thing is that, you know, he shouldn't have got these 30 games. And you still got these two other cases pending, which if I tell you the full story of those with Jose Reyes, where he did beat his girlfriend, threw her through a patio door, you know, screen door, you know, and then Yasiel Puig, you know, hitting his sister at some bar. That, by the way, he got his ass beat by a bouncer, by the way, which I found that's great. My point is this. If Chapman gets 30 games for not even any evidence of domestic violence, but they're using the reckless endangerment against him for that and get 30 games, what is Jose Reyes going to get? He better get at least 81 games or more. I'm just saying. Because there is evidence that he did beat his girlfriend. Okay?
Okay, I'm going to ask the question now. I've listened to what you said, and mm-hmm. I don't know what these new rules say. So I'm going to, since I don't know what they say, you know, it sounds like they're trying to, it sounds like what MLB is trying to do is to one-up the NFL because the NFL sat on their ass last year. Okay, I understand nobody likes domestic violence. But if you're going to do the shit, do it right. And I'm not talking about domestic violence for anybody who's listening. I'm talking about if you're going to have rules, first of all, I don't know if they put this past the legal counsel. And unlike the NFL, the MLB is not a nonprofit, you know, so I know some of their stuff is different. But if you're going to have these rules and you're going to enforce these rules, I don't think you should ever have a test case per se, and I definitely think that before you issue any type of cases or repercussions on anyone, that you should fully investigate and talk to people and find out what they think, because domestic violence is a very serious thing, and when you're saying you're going to suspend somebody for domestic violence, it should truly be a proof of domestic violence, and he said, she said, and no police report, especially when the police are saying, hey, this is inconsistent from what you read to me. There's no consistency. You ran out the house without your child. Actually, they should have charged him for reckless endangerment of a minor for leaving a minor in a house with, as she said, somebody with a loaded gun. You care that much about your child. You don't care enough about your child to not leave them, but your story keeps changing, so either way, there's a problem. There was never any threat against the child, and that's the first thing that I was listening for. You know, even though he was pissed at this female that is his on again, off again, whatever, you know, was there any, first of all, was he a danger to himself? These are the questions that you always have to ask. Was he a danger to himself, and was he a danger to others? Was there an arrest in this case? Was there any time put down? Was there a trial? Was there, you know, was there anything? And at the end of the day, it all came up to no, we're not going to press charges. There was no reckless endangerment of a child. There was no reckless endangerment of a human. There was nothing. You know, they did not even get him for discharging his firearm. And when you look at it, discharging a firearm in a residential area, not because of anything else, but because bullets don't have names on them. And therefore, just from what I'm hearing, MLB needs to go back and relook at the books and maybe, in my opinion, talk to real domestic violence victims. And I'm not saying that this young lady is not a victim of domestic violence. I'm going to say what I have just heard. I do not hear domestic violence. What I hear is that she should have been charged, her and her family should have been charged with imprisonment, unlawful imprisonment, because when a person tries to leave and you hold them, that's a unlawful imprisonment, period. Every state has a different rule on unlawful imprisonment, but when you lock a person in a room, that's unlawful. There's no way around it. It's unlawful imprisonment. You cannot even get around that. And normally when there's a case of a domestic situation, they don't charge anybody because they know that it's normally heated. But at the end of the day, you know, her family, you know, if they really felt that she was in danger, they should have got her and that baby and got the hell up out of there and then called the police. You don't hang around. I'm just sorry, you don't. As a domestic violence survivor, you don't hang around. You don't sit there, and you definitely don't leave your children in danger with somebody who has a gun, and it's just reckless, as you're saying. Second of all, when the police don't charge and there's no proof and there's nothing, did she go to the doctor? No. Did she press charges? No. Did she do anything? No. So these are basically all allegations of he say, she say. And when you come down to a he say, she say situation, in the eyes of the law, when there's he say, she say, and there's no consistent proof, they have to do what they did is walk away. And I think MLB should do the same thing because there is nothing to prove. And I can tell you from the law aspect, when you cannot prove it, when you can't prove it enough to even press charges, there's a problem. Therefore, the police and the prosecutor basically said there's not even enough to press charges to even recommend, you know, different places or different ways, but a lot of times when there's going to be any charges pressed, it's presented to the prosecutor for a warrant to be issued. And the prosecutor looks at it and the prosecutor says yay or nay. Sometimes they don't agree. Sometimes they do. Apparently, in this case, the prosecution's not enough. There's not even enough there for me to go to a judge and get a warrant signed. And that's how the law goes. You just don't say, hey, I'm going to press charges against the person. It's still, even though a person could sit there, boom, 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 blow you away, you say that, hey, yeah, I'm good, motherfucker, away, and you're sitting there, the police still have to make the recommendation to the prosecutor to file the charges. Now, the prosecutor might say, hey, they wasn't really holding that gun. It was somebody else. No, we're not going to press charges because at the end of the day, it's up to the prosecutor. If this goes to a judge, and then the judge has the final say if they're going to sign a warrant. So it's more than just them not pressing. If the police felt that there was enough to go to the prosecutor, they could say yeah or nay. Even if they didn't feel there was enough, they'll still send it to the prosecutor. If the prosecutor looks at it and says, hey, I can't take this to a judge, the judge is going to laugh me out, laugh at me,
Yeah.
A lot of people think judges rubber stamp stuff. I know a lot of judges, they don't rubber stamp. You know, and there are a lot of times that they will look at the situation and say, is this something that I can, can come up in here, And they really look at it, especially when the prosecutor is bringing it to them. And for anybody who does not, I've seen the inside of the prosecutor's office. When they go to the judge, they just don't go with one warrant. They normally take a stack of warrants with them. It's not like that shit you see on Law and Order where they sit there with the judge. That's not how it works. They walk in there with a stack of warrants. I kid you not. And it's normally sometimes 10 or 20 warrants. And the judge, that's why a lot of times, anybody who's ever done any courtroom time, the judge will say, hold up, let's do a recess. And they're sitting on the bench. They're not in their chambers. And they're reading. And they're signing off. And you might hear them come ask somebody a question. What's this? That's what they're doing. They're signing warrants. And all of the time, some of them don't get signed. And if it's a warrant, they're not going to sign. What they do not do is make an issue in the courtroom. What they do is they sit there and say, send this back. I got some additional questions. And they do that in private. They don't do that in open court. Like I said, I love Law and Order. I watch a lot of them on TV, but that is not how it really goes. So the MLB should have done their research and said, hey, is this there? Because in all actuality, if you give this man ammunition in a civil court, fuck their contract, fuck all of this. You have suspended his man. You taking his livelihood. I don't know if they realize there's still a statute of limitations, even when you're suspended from a job. If you feel that it's unlawful or there's some type of standard or anything that's affected by this, he can still go after them legally after the fact. I think he has like 3 to 5 years to do this in a court of law. Therefore, these are things that maybe MLB should have talked to their attorneys about. Maybe somebody should have sat down. Maybe they should have just thought a little bit harder. That's just my opinion. I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. No, that was very thorough, and I totally agree. And I just think because of what's been going on in the past couple of years, they saw what NFL went through and said, well, listen, we have to suspend them somehow, even though there's, any evidence, clear-cut evidence of him touching her. So
That's the whole thing. You don't have to do that. What you have to do is say, we're going to go on a case-by-case basis like it should be.
Yes.
Domestic violence is very serious, and you don't sit here just because somebody got accused of something. And like I said, I don't know if they're going to be back together. For anyone who's listening, I don't know the situation. I don't know these people at all. I don't even know who the hell he's talking about, but I can tell you what I do, what I'm hearing. And I'm going to speak on what I'm hearing, not on what I know. What I'm hearing is that apparently this ain't the first damn argument they done had. It ain't going to be the last one. Now,
obviously,
just moving in and out, I don't know their ages. I don't know their situation. But I do know relationships. I know relationships very well. And relationships, you argue, you move the fuck out, you see shit you don't like. I'm sorry, men and women both do it, We'll look at some shit and we'll see something and we'll be like, yeah, that shit is really fucked up. Boom, 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 boom. And that's how we deal with it. And we might argue, we might fuss, we might cuss, we might cry, everything. But if we're truly going to be together, we're still going to be together. And when our families start getting involved, it's when we start having problems. And that's what a lot of people don't understand. You have to just look at this, and I think that's what police looked at. The police probably said, these motherfuckers going to be back together in a week. Why the hell are we going to stay here and do something? She don't want to press charges. First of all, when a woman don't want to press charges and she ain't had no hands laid on her, eyes are, that bitch is going back. I'm sorry.
Yep.
And I'm going to call it the way it is. She's going to go back. She has a child with him. He most women, especially, and I'm sorry to say this, I don't know how long they've known each other, but when it comes down to money, just from my point of view, we don't walk away from money real easy, okay? I don't care how much a motherfucker beat your ass. I'm just serious. You know, especially when you're young, and if you ain't really had it, and, you know, now something coming around that you ain't used to, I'm sorry, women, I'm calling us out because this is what we do. Money will make us deal with shit that we'll never put up.
That's right.
You know, and it's just being honest. I'm not saying it's right, but we do. You know, we stick around when there is a relationship where the person we're dating has a decent income. We will stay in that relationship quicker than we will stay with the guy who I'm working at the gas station, you know, unless it's real, real love.
That's
you know, we'll sit there and deal with some shit. We'll be like, you know, it was just a mistake. I understand. Y'all don't understand. I love him. I love him. You know, I should, women, it becomes, I shouldn't have flew off the handle. I was wrong. We go into some flames. I'm just telling it. So the police probably saw this because, remember, they do this on a daily basis. The MLB is not qualified to say that they're qualified to make judgment on something that they don't deal with on a daily basis. The police and the Fox News deal with this on a daily basis, day in and day out. This is how they live their lives. You know, and this is just a small aspect of their job. So why don't you follow their lead? And if they said there's nothing that comes to them, don't penalize this guy. Because you're not qualified unless you're going to hire domestic violence professionals, unless you're going to get a panel that are totally impartial and have nothing to do with the MLB to make these decisions, you are out of order. You're not qualified to say what is and what is not domestic violence. The police and the prosecutors are. They don't always get it right. The 95-99% of the time, they do get it right. And I trust the police and the prosecutors. You know, and I know somebody's going to say, damn, you must be a prosecutor. No, I'm not a prosecutor, but I've been in enough prosecutor offices. I've been in enough defense attorney offices. I just know how this shit goes. And when you see it, you have to look at it.
Bottom line is this. They saw what the DA and the police did. There was nothing charged on him, so therefore, shouldn't be suspended. Case closed. That's it. You have these other two cases anyway, which way more evidence that something happened than Aroldis Chapman. So that's where you go, okay, now these two pending things that we're waiting to see what the police locally, where it happened to those two other cases happened, we'll wait for those what's true, and then go from there how much he should be suspended, that's different. But in this case, Aroldis Chapman shouldn't be suspended again. Because going by what I'm reading here, because they made this announcement of this ruling in August 21st about this new domestic violence agreement, you know, rule. The agreement is to attend to provide a comprehensive policy addressing issues such as protecting the legal rights of players, treating violations seriously, holding players accountable through appropriate disciplinary measures, and providing resources for the intervention and care of victims' families and the players themselves. The terms of the agreement cover four main areas: treatment and intervention, a joint policy board consisting of three experts in the field and two representatives each from the MLBPA and the commissioner's office have been established. The board is responsible for developing a treatment plan. Players may be required to submit a psychological evaluations, attending counseling sessions, comply with court orders, including child support orders, relocate from a home shared with his partner, limit his interactions with his partner, relinquish all weapons and other reasonable directives designed to promote the safety of the player's partner, children, or victims. Players who fail to comply are subject to discipline from the commissioner. All information is to be kept confidential. Investigations. The commissioner's office will investigate all accusations of domestic violence, sexual assault, and child abuse involving members of the baseball community. The commissioner may place an accused player on paid administrative leave for up to 7 days while accusations are being investigated, which is what's happening with Jose Reyes. Players may challenge any decision before the arbitrating panel, you know. Discipline. The commissioner would decide on appropriate discipline with no minimum or maximum penalty under the policy. Players may challenge such decisions for arbitrational power panel. Training, education, and resources. All players will provide education about domestic violence, sexual assault, and child abuse in both English and Spanish. Well, you know there's a lot of Spanish, that's for sure. At regular intervals. Resources to players' families, including referral information, websites, hotline numbers, and outreach facilities will be made available along with a confidential 24-hour helpline. An annual program of community outreach will be developed. It may include public service announcements featuring players. Well, you know, Marla Chapman's going to do that now. Domestic violence awareness days at ballparks and other activities designed to spread awareness on the issues. And there you go. That's a mouthful. So that's breaking it down. This MLB domestic violence policy.
Oof. And at the end of the day, I don't like it. I don't like what you just read. I'm not planning on saying this, really, I don't. But I don't like it because it's still, at the end of the day, it falls back on the commissioner, but these experts, but this is supposed to be confidential. Now, I agree with the intervention. Okay, what should have happened? In this case, he should have been sent to anger management. That's what he should have been sent to. Okay?
I agree with that. He should not have been suspended, but make him go to anger management, of course. That's a good point. Makes more sense.
Because there may have been another way he could have handled it. But yet it's still... When you do that, you have both parties, though. And I know people are going to say, I'm playing devil's advocate. No, this is the truth. Because this started because of her going to his phone. Now, I don't know their situation, but I can tell you one thing. As much as I want to sometimes see what the hell is in my man's phone, I ain't looking. Because, see, I was taught, if you go looking for something, you're going to find something that you don't want to know and that you're not going to like. So don't go looking if you really don't want to know what you find. And therefore, she went looking, and she knew ahead of time she was going to find something that she didn't like, and she chose to look, but she also chose to escalate that situation into a way that caused him to react. And you cannot sit here and think that somebody's going to be calm. I don't care what the situation. If you start yelling at me and bossing up all in my face and shit, I don't care, man, woman, or whatever. You're going to react. That is how people do.
We're human beings because
this is what happens. And like I said, I don't know if he's got permission or whatever. I just don't. But at the end of the day, you know, she went looking for something. Instead of her saying, hey, can we talk because I just looked in your phone and I ain't seen something. You know, she really went off the handle. Because I'm going to tell you, I've seen shit with my man. And I can tell you, I don't make that throw on that shit. I don't go out immediately because I look for my time to react, okay? And my time to react is normally when you least expect my ass to fucking react, okay? I might sit on that shit for a few months, all right? Because...
the royal flush?
You know, I might sit on that shit. You know, I got to sit there and I'm going to use it.
Yeah. There's a time and place for everything. That's a saying, Ms. B. Yeah. There's a time and a place for everything.
Well, definitely. And what she did, and when they do the domestic violence, when they do this anger management, they should take her off her because, see, if you only send one person to anger management and there is a cause and effect, the person who's not going to anger management is not going to learn anything because they're gonna be like, yeah, you got made to go to anger management. I don't need that shit. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Well, guess what? Apparently, you do need anger management because you doing what you did escalated to this level.
Yeah.
And if they're not going to address the issue with both individuals, then you're not saving anyone.
You know, that's an excellent point. You know, the games, you know, take that aside. If you see, but this is why I call bullshit for all these sports. If you really care, if you really do care about the families of these professional athletes, whether man or woman, wouldn't you want to at least put him in some sort of program? Just like Ms. V said, okay, you hear the evidence. Okay, just like she said, okay, you won't be suspended, but we're going to have you at least, you know, go to anger management. Because what you did there, you're lucky you didn't hurt nobody. I mean, you tried to leave the residence, and your peoples didn't allow you to escalate your anger further. Therefore, you went off the handle, you took a gun, you locked yourself in a garage, and you let off your frustration by shooting off 8 shots. One of them went through a window. Thank God it didn't hit nobody, whatever. I don't know where they live at as far as, you know, the blueprints of the area. Is there a house right there? You know, is it, you know, real close to another neighbor's house? I don't know. I don't know. Is it a street by the, you know what I mean? You don't know all those facts. So, but his reactions as far as to how he got so angry, you know, you could at least say, okay, you know what? You're going to have to at least look into this. You know, we got to put you in some sort of program, man. This ain't good for you, because what happens the next time, God forbid, be worse. You know, and then, you know, so this is like I said, the only reason, and let's keep it real, the only reason MLB finally has a domestic violence ruling is because what the NFL is going through. And the NFL don't give a shit about domestic violence either. It's all because of people in the public, you know, making what should be a big deal about this situation, because domestic violence is a serious thing. But, you know, when it started to affect their bottom line, their money, this is where they go, oh, well, we care now about domestic violence. They don't care. Most of them. I shouldn't say all of them don't. I don't want to, but most of them don't. They don't.
At the end
okay?
of the day, they care about that all
the bottom line.
And the only time that they react is when that dollar is affected. And
thank you.
The dollar
image.
Is never affected. Because let's use a situation that has nothing to do with domestic violence.
Mm-hmm.
And Donna can sue. How many times did he get $50,000 and $60,000 and $70,000 fines for quote unquote being a dirty player? They never ever got rid of his ass. You know why? Because as much as people call him a dirty player, and as much as they still call him a dirty player, them motherfuckers still pay the city to watch him. Therefore, it's not bothering nobody. You know, yeah, they fine him fucking $50,000. That ain't shit to him. You know. You get that
change.
Damn fine for doing whatever you did. Because,
especially,
you know,
I don't mean
you go stomp on another, you go stomp on a fucking player's hand, you know, when you get up, and oops, it was a mistake, and you get fined for it. Well, guess what? When you look at this type of stuff, you say, well, isn't that more serious? You just basically, you almost took this person's livelihood. You know, this is how they make their money. You know, but yet and still, because nobody cried about that and nobody said that was fucked up, they didn't get hard on him. They just gave him another fucking fine. I mean, and on top of that, he got fucking rewarded by going to fucking Miami and losing all season. Yeah, I said it. Yeah,
but this goes with everything. Not only domestic violence, but PEDs and steroids when it comes to baseball, you know, mostly baseball, because football, it's funny, when it comes to football, no one gives a shit that these motherfuckers to take horse tranquilizers, let alone fucking steroids. But in baseball, you know, it's treated holier than thou. And this is why it's all bullshit and hypocrisy. Because with people like Barry Bonds, people like Roger Clemens, where there was no evidence or failed test proven that they took steroids, but we all know they did took something because they ballooned up like fucking Bluto from Popeye. But the bottom line is, when it comes to the Hall of Fame, do their numbers show on the field? It has nothing to do with what they did outside the field, because let's not forget, we got a guy named Ty Cobb, who's the biggest racist in sports history, in the Hall of Fame, okay? I'm just saying. And you should know, Detroit Tigers history. I'm just saying. Okay? He played where there were no numbers on the back. That's how long ago. Okay? That's why you don't see a number retired Ty Cobb. You just see his name and a statue, but there's no number because back in those days, early 1900s, there were no numbers until like in the 20s. So my thing is, let's stop with the bullshit. Barry Bonds deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. Pete Rose deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. You know, Roger Clemens. This is not holier than thou.
Now, you know we don't want past 7 o'clock, but I got to say.
I know, but no, this is important.
But you know, the Pete Rose, Now, you got to look at this man was banned from baseball for life for gambling. And I'm not trying to minimize it because he was betting on the games and we know
that. Yeah, I understand that.
I'm not trying to minimize it, but it does not take away from him being a great fucking player. You know, I remember fucking Pete Rose. When he got fucking kicked out, I was like, what the fuck?
Charlie Hustle.
And I'm like, I'm telling you, but this is what I was thinking. And I was much younger when he got kicked out of baseball. But I do remember because I was thinking, damn, all he did was, and as I say, I minimized it. All he did was bet on the ponies or whatever, you know. Yeah, he made a few dollars off of the game. How many of them are still doing it? Let's keep it real. He ain't the only one. He ain't the last one.
But that's what I'm saying. This all goes back to that, why they put up that rule in a clubhouse, in every clubhouse at MLB of not betting on baseball is because of the 1919 Black Sox scandal when the White Sox intentionally threw the World Series against the Cincinnati Reds and let the Reds win because they had their owner basic – I forgot who it was, but somebody paying them a lot of money back in those days because they weren't getting paid shit. They were treated like property back then. So they got paid a lot of money to lose purposely, and they took the money. It's a different time. It's enough already. And let me tell you this: if it's so a blasphemy that Pujols should be banned for life, you don't have Barry Bonds, and you have writers, you know, these douchebags, supposed to, these holier than thou, like they've never done nothing wrong in their fucking life. Oh, who couldn't play a sport of their life dependent on it. Oh, I'm not putting Barry Bonds in Roger Clemens because, you know, what they did, steroids or PEDs, although it was not proven, but we all know, use the common sense, they did. But regardless of that, even before they took that shit, they were Hall of Fame players. You know, they just took that shit to keep up with the Joneses, as they say. So you're going to ban these players, right, from the Hall of Fame. I'm never voting them in. But yet, if you go to Cooperstown, what you will see there, you won't see that them being inducted to the Hall of Fame, but yet you have Barry Bonds' back when he broke the record for the home run record of Roger Maris. Yet you have Pete Rose's jersey in the Hall of Fame when he broke Ty Cobb's hitting record. You have that. It's so bad. You know, these are despicable human beings, but yet you have their memorabilia in your Hall of Fame. Who's a fucking hypocrite? The fuck out of here.
And that's the whole thing, and that's what they don't look at, you know, and that's why like I said, I'm going to have to probably, let me quit lying, I ain't researching shit, because all I do is get pissed.
I'm just saying, it's just hypocrisy of it.
I'm
going
to get pissed if
bullshit.
I try to research it, and when I say I'm going to get pissed, I know I'm going to get pissed, because just from what I've heard, you know, they've got these rules. Okay, nobody wants to get bit in their ass after the fucking NFL, okay? Come on, but let's keep it real. With the players, and there's only really one fucking player that fucks it up for everybody, and that's because he beat his girlfriend's ass and the dumb bitch is still with him. At the end of the day, when you look at everybody else's situation, their situations were not sitting like that, but they made everybody else an example because of one person.
Yes.
And again,
thank you.
You know, and then you put out these fucked up ass domestic violence commercials, which I'm sorry, I still don't understand what they're saying.
Horrible.
I'm serious.
Horrible.
I look at them and what are you trying to say? Because whatever point you're trying to get across, last month I had a college education, and if I don't fucking understand it, I'm sure the motherfuckers that you're trying to get to understand it are not going to understand it, okay? Because last time I checked, I paid good money to go to school. I did not go to some rinky-dink fucking school or buy my damn PhD offline like that little boy in Florida did. You know, I actually went to college.
Yeah, you didn't get it from a Cracker Jack box, exactly.
You know, and I'm going to tell you, if I cannot understand what the fuck you're trying to say, then the average asshole who's committing domestic violence don't understand it either. Okay? Because I shouldn't need a fucking PhD to understand your fucking commercial.
Yeah, the whole point of commercial, right, because it's about communication, right, when it comes to TV or radio, whether it's an audio commercial or a visual commercial on TV, it's about the main point is to communicate with your viewers, correct, right? So that commercial from the Super Bowl before this past was nothing. You just saw well-known people, you know, who were just there. I can't talk about it.
You know, like, oh, nah, you know, you know. You didn't get a point across because, for one, I didn't see nobody fucked up in the face. I didn't see anybody saying, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to do it, I won't do it again. I didn't see that. You know, I didn't see anybody getting fucking arrested because, in all actuality, the ramifications of domestic violence are bruises, violence, being arrested, jail time. Show me an alcoholic who's gotten mad. I will understand that more with domestic violence than what they show. Because in all actuality, alcoholism and domestic violence go hand in hand, and a lot of people don't want to accept that, but it does.
Yeah. Alcohol is a main fuel to domestic violence. I mean, that's like a joke. I'm just saying, just the even those old don't use drug commercials were better than this shit we saw.
Okay. At least I can understand. This is your brain. This is your brain.
Thank
on
you.
Crack.
Boom.
You know
seconds.
What?
Any questions? Mitchell,
when you crack an egg in a skillet and it's fine, this is your brain. This
is your brain
on
drugs.
Crack.
Any questions? Boom.
And guess what?
Right to the point.
A cooked egg gets the point because don't nobody want their damn brain cooked. Did it help anybody?
Thank you.
I don't
Thank
know. You.
You
know, I ain't gonna say. You know, it made me hungry a lot of times, depending on what time they showed the commercial, because I'd be like, damn, the egg looks good. But I'm also not a drug user. I've never been interested in it. So for me, I'd be like, damn, that's fucked up. That's what it do. So a person like me, it would just too, because when we're not using drugs, but to give that example, I want to say that's fucked up. You should be doing it for the dog years, doing it to yourself. And that's the point, to get somebody to say that's fucked up.
Yeah, exactly. And the quit smoking commercials are way more effective than what we saw with domestic violence. They show actual people, you know, holes in their fucking throat and, you know, fucking old type
you know,
of Kansas and shit.
I'm actually mad about the stop smoking commercials. Them motherfuckers piss me off, and I don't even smoke. I mean, I'm like, first of all, you know, how many times were you told to quit smoking?
True.
You know, and then not your ass on a damn commercial, and then they're going to tell me what, and then they're going to give me the day you motherfucking died.
Yeah, I know.
And,
just
piss me off more. And I don't smoke, but I'm going to be honest, the don't smoke commercials are not effective. And I'm going to tell you why they're not effective.
Go ahead.
Because the people that they're portraying are on TV, and let's keep it real. How many of us have been brought up to, it's been put in our minds, what you see on TV ain't real.
Yeah, true.
So even though these are real people, it's hard to accept them as real people because we have been, it has been instilled in us. Remember, commercials and that stuff ain't real.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So how do you make an individual like myself who, I know that what they're saying is real, but how do you really convince a lot of us that that's truly real when we have had it filled in us for as long as we've been watching TV that what's on TV is not real? So how am I supposed to know this is a real person?
And you just have to pay attention to those small captions below because some commercials, they put those small captions saying these are actors portraying as real people.
But
right, you know
what I'm still saying? At the end of the day, we've been told what you see on TV ain't real.
Mm-hmm.
We tell kids all the time, you know that ain't real.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'll make this even crystal clear. I don't need to see a commercial to tell me, well, don't put your hand on a hot stove. You'll burn yourself. Right? That's common sense, right? So smoking to me is the same thing. You know, if you smoke, and depending on your family history, whatever, chances are it's not going to look good for you.
But it's going to affect you more if you know somebody who died of it. I have two relatives who have died from smoking.
Wow.
And I never smoked. I don't have a desire to smoke. My drug of choice is called alcohol. Bitch will drink. I ain't going to lie. And yeah. believe it or not, I've had family members die of alcoholism.
Oh, wow.
It's just that when I've kicked the two, I'd rather fucking drink because at least I know that with drinking I can control it. Tobacco is actually more addictive than alcohol.
Yeah.
That's
why
it's so hard for people to stop smoking.
Then nicotine,
but yet and still they have AA and all these different anonymous, but they don't have anything for smokers. And smoking, tobacco is the worst drug out there. And it's not even the tobacco, it's the nicotine that's addictive.
Yeah, it's a drug. It is a drug, nicotine. Correct.
And that is why when people quit smoking, they get irritable and everything else. They're worse than anybody
Moody,
else.
Yep, yep. Oh, hell, please, I know.
Now, therefore, you know, when I pick, say, my drug of choice, I choose alcohol. Shit, because bitch could go 2-3 weeks, sometimes months without drinking. It just, that's how it is.
Yeah, it is, yeah, that's, you could, yeah.
Not a damn smoker go more than a day without a damn cigarette. Them motherfuckers are being on you like white on rice. Why the hell you think gas stations and stuff make money off Lucy's when they're not supposed to be selling them?
Mm-hmm.
Lucy's are illegal all over the fucking country. But everybody sells them. Why? Because you got these motherfucking smokers. You got the fucking broke-ass motherfuckers that will go pay $2-4 because they got to have that fix. You don't see nobody selling me no damn shots. I can't go to the store and buy a motherfucking shot $2-4. This gotta buy at least a half a pint, depending on what she drinks. Sometimes you're gonna get a pint, and other times you're gonna get a fifth. Therefore, they don't sell my shit. Oh, well, I just come in and do like Chris Rock did at the McDonald's place. Hey, just put it in my hand and I'll drink it out. They don't do that shit for people who drink alcohol. Hey, let me crack the bottle and give me a little cap full.
Yeah. Good Lord, that's a lot of money. And let's keep being realer. There's also certain places that not only sell the Lucy's, but they'll sell you a Boulay cigarette. In other words, it is the same brand, but it's from a different state. I'm just saying, and they charge you different. You know, I'm just saying. It doesn't have the state stamp that you're at. It's from another state.
And because New York cigarettes are so high, motherfuckers always want someplace to get cigarettes.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all got the highest motherfucking cigarette tax in the world. I don't know how motherfuckers smoke there. I'd be like,
you fucking from New York
and you smoke?
Oh, my God.
Damn.
When I used to smoke way back in the day, even then it was too much. It was like $5 a pack.
$10 a pack? Now I'd be like, what the fuck?
I seen like $12, like $12.
Again, you know, I could go get a shot, now get this, because my habit, if I choose to, you know, they sell shots sometimes for $1.50 a piece at the store, the little shot bottles.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's, you know, if you could catch the store that's trying to get rid of their shots because they didn't sell them. Shit, where the fuck, I mean, I'm sorry, I couldn't live with you, motherfucker. If I was a smoker, I would have to leave New York. I ain't gonna lie. If I were a smoker, it's just like some states I can't live in because the alcohol is too high, you know. And people talk about how high the alcohol is here in Michigan. So a lot of times when we travel, we will, they don't try to put their liquor here because the store is here. The state of Gil, as an individual, like I could go to Ohio or someplace and buy liquor. You know, as long as it's for my personal use.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, shit. Let me go try to go someplace. I mean, when people find out I'm going down south, the best place to get your damn cigarettes is, South Carolina, North Carolina, because that's tobacco country. And motherfuckers
will
be like, you going through there? Can you stop getting me some cigarettes? Motherfuckers will give you money for cases of cigarettes.
Yeah, I was going to say cartons, not just a pack. Be cartons of cigarettes. It's much cheaper. And by the way, anybody taking notes, the only way you would survive here in New York, and if you're a smoker, Lucy's and bootlegs, I'm telling you, unless you got money like that, that's the only way. And that's the truth.
Like I said, I saw it and I was like, you motherfuckers are crazy.
Bootlegs up here, when they get it from North Carolina, you know, like Newports, for example, I just know about Newports. It's $7. So the real shit, the actual shit with the actual state New York stamp will cost you at least $12.
But like I said, that's just too much. Like,
oh, fuck yeah.
Again,
Sermon bus is too
but
much.
Again, this goes back to me saying that that's addictive. And we don't get totally off the subject, but our point basically was that with everything that's going on, they're focusing on all this other shit. And if you're going to really crack down on domestic violence, get help for everybody involved. And I'm being very serious about that.
Yep.
Helping one person does not help the situation, because at the end of the day, the victim needs help also. And a lot of times they're so busy, we've got to stop this. You can't stop it if you don't stop the victim, because maybe the victim don't need to be there. Maybe the victim is not really a victim.
The victim's
maybe the
not
victim
helping
is actually the. Maybe the victim is the one who is actually the one doing the domestic violence. Because a lot of times we like to assume that men are the ones who are always doing domestic violence, but we have a lot of women who commit domestic violence against men. And until that's addressed, you have to see, you know, I'm going to play devil's advocate. Who's to say that actually she wasn't the one who caused all that shit? And she's the one who went after him.
The evidence there is for itself. Yeah, the evidence speaks for itself right there.
He's being penalized. Therefore, you can't keep saying that men are the only ones who commit domestic violence. I've seen some of them, I'd be like, these bitches would be somebody's ass. You know, and they're like that towards their men. I have seen men who are truly afraid of their women. And I'm not being funny. You know, these men were raised not to put their hands on a woman. And being raised that way.
And those women use it against
so
them.
So much. And them women use it against them. And they beat the shit out of them. And then when the shit go down, when the man finally do get mad, she's the first one to cry. Oh, he put his hands on me. But she'll never say about when she put her hands on him. And he's not going to sit there and talk about how she beat him, because he's embarrassed, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the one thing. So if you're going to address this, address all of it. Don't half-ass address it.
Exactly.
Because at the end of the day, you're not helping nobody, but nobody. You know, I'm not going to say that you're helping a reputation or anything, because, like I said, I'm a survivor.
Mm-hmm.
And I can tell you I got help. I'm positive my ex-husband never got help. And the reason why I said I know he never got help, because he came from a family who condoned it. And when I say condoned it, when I told my ex-mother-in-law what he did to me, she told me, oh, baby, he gets upset sometimes, he hits. Well, when you have a female say this about her child, then this is something that's instilled in the family. You have to stop the cycle. I am very blessed that because I got out of this situation, there was not a cycle to be started. Because my son, no, I will beat his motherfucking ass. He put his hands on a woman. You know, he ain't got to worry about domestic violence. He got to worry about mama violence. Because mama will fuck him up. Okay?
This is the bottom line. I've said it once. I've said it again. I will never, ever hit a woman. But best believe, if my life's on the line and I'm cornered and she got a knife or a gun at me, all bets are off. That's keeping it real.
And that's the whole thing. When you're fighting for your life, that's one thing. But just because you get pissed,
No, that's different. It's totally different. But, you know.
And this individual, because he tried to walk away, and she considered to pursue him. Therefore, she better be glad that she didn't get her ass beat.
That's the problem. That's what I'm saying. It just, you know. Anyway, we're about to be thrown out, so we might as well go.
So
go ahead.
We'll be back tomorrow night for It's All About Sex, Sex and Miller Sex.
Yes.
And I will probably be drunk. I've already started drinking. So
nice.
I'll see what you heard. No, I went to the store to get some liquor since we're officially over. I went and it's Rip Liquor. I bought it before, but this one they had it, like, I walked in, I had no intention of buying whipped liquor. But it's whipped cream that's infused with liquor. And this one is Irish mint. So I've had a couple of squirts.
Oh, wow.
And you do not refrigerate it, though. You shake it up real good, and you, like, squirt it on stuff. And this shit is actually kind of good. I'll probably be fucked up before the night is over. But
nice.
I'll be bowling tomorrow, so I'll be on Red Bull tomorrow. And when we get on the air, I don't know how sober I'll be. You might have to call me.
Call you. Oh, wow, okay.
Again, I'm telling you, this is... one of my few free days where, I mean, I've been on the air lit, but I very seldom am, like, out in public like that. And I'll be with my road dog. As a matter of fact, the whole family will be there. This is, like, it's an outing for my job. But
oh.
My mom and dad will be there also.
Oh, wow,
so,
okay.
Because they bowl at the same bowling alley that we're at. So
mm-hmm.
they actually will be bowling before us. So knowing them, because they found out how we partied last time, and it was like, wow, we didn't know y'all did that, you know. And then my dad tried to get drunk. He'll probably, when he realizes that I made cheesecake shots again, he'll be
trying
to do it again. Cheesecake shots are just like Jello shots, but cheesecake shots are made with cheesecake.
Oh, really? Oh, wow.
So I have
chocolate
cheesecake shots and tequila cheesecake shots.
Oh, wow.
And then I'm making Jello shots also.
Oh, wow.
And I'm making Jolly Rancher watermelon.
Ooh.
Jello shots.
Oh,
because
shit.
I saw the watermelon Jello at the store, and I was like, I'm going to make this. So.
Yeah, well, Jolly Rancher watermelon, cherry, and apple, the three best flavors.
Well, I'm just doing the watermelon because other people are bringing stuff, and we're going to be at a bowling alley. This is one of the most bowling alleys that allow you to bring food. I'm serious. They don't normally allow you to bring
food.
This is going to be so funny. We bring everything. We take over the bowling alley, literally. We take over the bowling alley.
Are we going to be hearing pins in the background while we do the show?
Oh, no. Bowling ends at 5 o'clock. But we're going to stay for karaoke, and then, you know, we're still doing shots.
Oh, boy. This is going to be interesting.
But because I've got to do the show, I probably won't stay like that until my daughter has to work the next morning. So this one knows where, but I'm not going to promise I'm going to be sober. Let's get that clear.
Yeah,
like I said, you might have to call me. You might have to call me a few times.
Oh, boy. Okay. Well, time to babysit.
I'm just saying.
At least you're putting it out there now. We'll find out when it's like an hour of the before showtime and find this shit out.
And you'd be like, Miss V, what the fuck?
All right, so would it be cool like an hour before I call you or what?
Yeah, I mean, if you don't see no activity and me doing nothing, then
okay.
Yeah, you might want to call me.
Okay,
like,
so
you can only, like if you like look on something and I've posted something and. If an hour before, at least before that, if I posted something, really just want to check to see if I'm sober.
Okay. Gotcha. Got it. I'm ready.
I'm going to try to stay sober because I don't want to get a DUI because a DUI is not good.
No, it's not. No, it's not.
I will be, will I be happy tomorrow? Yes, I will. But I'm going to start off, now I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do to make sure that I'm happier than they think I really am. I'm going to be drinking Red Bull ahead of time because Red Bull gets me high and everybody knows that. So I have a way to get the happiness without the alcohol.
Oh, you get laid.
So I'll be drinking a little alcohol, but it'll be more Red Bull. I've actually got my Red Bull nice and chilling, and if I put like a shot in my Red Bull, then I'm good.
Okay. Well, I can't wait for tomorrow already. We'll see what happens in another, 25, 26, 27 and a half hours from now. See what happens. It's going to be interesting.
And I'm supposed to be Skyping them all night also.
Oh, really?
I mean, not Skyping, but Periscope, remember?
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah. Well, that's interesting. And this time you'll be able to hear me now, right? That you got that all set up with the speaker and stuff?
I'm going to,
okay.
I'm seriously.
As long as you're working on it.
So.
Okay. So
I'm when we get off the air, I'll be doing the testing of the speaker and setting it up because I think I just didn't test the speaker. But I think I'm going to probably, but I think that this time, I think it might be also Google Chrome, even though Log Talk normally works good on Chrome. It might be because, you know, Skype really wasn't made for Chrome.
Mm-hmm.
So it might be the combination of Skype not liking Chrome and Chrome doing whatever it does.
The only way I saw it working was when there were times when Sierra did her show and she Periscoped, she would just put her co-host on speakerphone on her landline, and it worked fine on Periscope, you know. It like it didn't interfere with the obviously it didn't interfere with Blog Talk because she's on a she's using the speakerphone so you can get a call. So, but it was
well,
a landline.
And that's pretty much like what I'm doing with this. But that's what I may have to do tomorrow because I can do the speakerphone and then still do Periscope, and I might do it that way if that seems to work because I do have a speakerphone. And then I could always do my cell phone on the speakerphone and just hook a speaker up with it. That might be a way to do it because I could still do Periscope because the big thing is having my tablet.
Cause, because you use your tablet. Yep.
We'll see. We'll make it work.
Yeah.
But until tomorrow night, everybody come back and check us out tomorrow night.
Yes.
We're going to talk about sex and more sex because next week we got a guest stone. We got a guest stone. I'm pretty sure. Slowly but surely getting our guests back in order. I've got some more emails to send out to people, and I've got people that I've got to ask and everything.
Awesome.
So, everybody have a great evening, and we'll talk to you tomorrow. Hope
Good night. Yeah. Bye. This is the man. Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.